Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic, and this is episode number 679, and talking about thunderstorms, because I'm actually kind of looking like I'm getting close to one here. I am just headed north from the huge, thriving metropolis, well, not really, of Naravaisa, which is in northeast New Mexico, headed toward Clayton, New Mexico, a much more thriving metropolis, although not so much so, particularly. I think it's a town of about 2,500, maybe, on a good day. Anyway, driving into some interesting cloud patterns. The one neat thing about New Mexico is that we have lots of interesting weather here, and it's been an extremely good year. It's been a really good year. We tend to have droughts, and we have, they're kind of on a cycle, I guess. And most people consider them to be on an 11-year cycle. You'll have a good year, and then you'll have 11 down years, and then you'll have a good year, and then, well, I don't know if it's really like that, but they say it's a cyclical pattern that goes about every 11 years. I heard that. I don't know if it's true anymore. I think it was true in the past, or people tried to make that assumption. And given how much information we have, there hasn't been just a whole lot of 11-year cycles in recent history. America, or at least this part of New Mexico, is not very settled. People have lived here for probably around 100 years. The whole government type thing. This is somewhat a new phenomenon. We don't have like back east, so they might have 300 or 400 years of data on temperature, for instance, or rainfall or whatever. Here we don't, just for the nature of it. We didn't. There weren't record-keeping people particularly here, you know. Before 100 years ago, this was mostly Native American territory. And it hasn't changed significantly, except that we've thrown up some barbed wire fences to kind of delineate where land starts and stops. But other than that, you know, it's just kind of, I don't know. Anyway, so. Beautiful territory here, kind of rolling hills where I am, but still you get a really excellent view of the sky. There's some neat clouds. As I look to the north, it's really kind of rough looking. And I really didn't become really cognizant of the weather until I moved out to our family's ranch, which has since been sold, about 20 miles north of Clovis, New Mexico. And it had been owned by my great-grandfather. And it passed down to my mother, and my mother decided to sell it. And I'm not saying that was a bad move or a good move or what. You know, it really wasn't my decision. Anyway, so that was when I really first started noticing the weather, because I think that was the first time I was really close to a natural state. Before then, I'd lived in California, and everything in California is vaguely artificial, you know. All your water's piped in. I don't know if I don't know. But, you know, it just seemed like everything was kind of a stable state there. You know, it would get a little bit cold in the winter time. There wasn't really a winter. I don't remember it ever snowing there when I was there. There would be hot days, but, you know, I never really gave it much thought until I got to Clovis, and I could see, you could really feel the wind. All of a sudden, the wind became a very visceral thing. We had windmills, and that was where we got our water from. And so when the wind blew, we were getting lots of water. We were happy. when the wind didn't blow, we weren't getting any water at all, and that was kind of sad. There was a few times when we had to go into town because we just ran out of water from the windmills, which was interesting. It's kind of an interesting thing. When you come from a world, and most people in the United States live in a world where you turn on a faucet and there's water. There will always be water there unless the faucet's broken. Then you call the plumber and he comes and he fixes the faucet and the water comes back. It's just that simple. You know. But when you get down to the actual thing of, you know, the water's, you know, so many hundreds of feet under the ground and it has to be pumped up and then you have to pressurize it if you want to pressurize it. In that circumstance, I don't think we had a pressure. We didn't have water pressure. We had we had what's called gravity fed, and I guess I got used to it. I didn't really think about it. But that kind of close living to things. So the wind went from being either a nuisance or something like that or you know, being just something that was either kind of pleasant or kind of a bother or whatever you thought, all of a sudden it became vital. You liked it when the wind really started blowing because it was really a great thing. I can only imagine people who have wind generators are the same way. They love it when the wind kicks up and starts blowing. They love it when a storm starts moving in. Because that storm brings two things that are really vital to you, you know. For a wind generator, it'll bring electricity that you might have been on your reserve battery power and might not have been able to do some of the things you'd like to do because you were just waiting. Oh, look at this kind of weird black storm. I'm kind of going to... It actually looks like it's a little bit headed in my direction. It looks like it's coming from the east a little. But it looks like I'm going to skirt it. I'm going to drive right past it. Wow. But it's cool looking. I remember as a kid, living out on my family's ranch, in the little ranch house that we stayed at. I'm still kind of nostalgic about it. Maybe because it was just such a blessed time. I don't remember my mom or my dad saying that it was really a horrible time. The driving back and forth to work, I think, was tough on Dad. But I don't recall it being really terribly expensive for them. Right now, my wife would consider such a thing to be kind of out of our reach, financially. Anyway. I would remember just standing there, kind of leaning into the wind. And the wind was that hard there. It was really flat. You know, there was no trees particularly, no mountains, no nothing to slow the wind down. The wind can really go pretty fast because there's just nothing in its way to slow it down. A concept that I think people back east have no concept of. A 10-mile-an-hour wind is windy for them. Where here, a 10-mile-an-hour wind, you don't even feel it. It's like, oh, that's nothing. You know, it doesn't really start being interesting and good until it gets up to at least 25, 30. And it happens often enough, it'll kick up 40s and 50s. You know, not on a steady basis at all, but good enough for things like that. So, you know, and it was really neat to watch these thunderstorms kind of roll in. And they'd come in this wave. And just you could kind of watch it march toward you. Boom, 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 boom. You know, get larger and blacker. And you could see the lightning shooting down from. I just saw a couple of bolts of lightning from this little... It's more of a squall over here. I apologize for using somewhat of a nautical term. But, you know, I've done some nautical stuff. So sometimes I use some of the words. But that's kind of what it is. It's more of a squall than a real angry-looking, nasty thunderstorm. But it's still pretty neat. It's got some whole aspects. There's a much larger one off to the west of me that has developed. So I'm kind of in this horseshoe. You know, there's a storm off to the west, a little one just barely off the east of me, and then just a big mass of clouds over me that's still high. And I'm ready for it to come and hit me. I'm sure it's going to hit me at the state park I'm going to be staying at tonight. And it's going to be pretty interesting. And I get a kick out of thunderstorms. They still are exciting and adventurous to me. I remember at this same house, I think it's the time I think my mind really opened up to things of beauty, but it just tends to be that those things of beauty were also somewhat destructive too. It was almost like a huge sheet that covered the western sky on this one evening. And I mean, it was like a wall. It was like a straight wall. It really wasn't a storm. Oh, I'm starting to get a little bit of rain now. Excellent. Ooh, big drops, too. Oh, all six of them that I got. Maybe I'll get a few more. I think I see some water up here soon. So I might hit a nice little squall here of water, rain. Anyway, so this amazing, and it was a Technicolor explosion, reds and oranges and magentas and every color of the rainbow, and not like rainbow arranged, but just kind of blotches here and blotches there, all kind of on what looked like a huge sheet on the west. Can you guys hear the rain? It's coming down on me. Often we get some hail, too. This is really the territory that can get some hail, so I'm not surprised. Oh, I can smell it. Oh, that's a wonderful smell. I love that smell. The first time I felt the smell of a real summer storm in this area, my grandparents, my mom's mother and stepfather, they lived in Lubbock when I was younger. Like, ever since from when I was born up until I turned about, I think, 10 or so, they lived in Lubbock, Texas. And my brother and I would travel there on a pretty regular basis. You know, going and visiting Grandma. And we would go and stay Grandma. Grandma had an extra room, and that was kind of the place where we stayed when we were there. There was other people that stayed there when we weren't there. And I just remember being there. It was, you know, Lubbock's a little south of here, so it's a little warmer. It's a little more humid, too. It gets more rain than we do northwest of it. And I would just remember the stuff. It was, I didn't recognize it as the monsoon season. I don't remember my grandparents ever using the word monsoon. But that's what it's called. That's what it's called here. We thought that we were in the monsoon season the last couple of months for how much rain we've been getting on a lot of nights. But now we're still getting it. Either we're still in the midst of it, or it's just yet to begin. It's usually a little later in the year. It's usually late July, early August, which is where we are right now. And marvelous, beautiful, neat time of year. If you don't like thunderstorms, don't come, because thunderstorms are kicking the pants here. They're fantastic. It can really whip up quite a storm for you. And if that bothers you, if that worries you, well, then you probably shouldn't be here, because it can do a good job. Anyway, I like this territory because they still have windmills. I'm passing by a windmill right now. Most of them are still working, still being put toward the normal uses, pumping water, usually from great depths around here. And, just try. I really do. I really think this land is neat in several ways. You do have all four seasons here. It gets hot in the summer. It gets cold in the winter. Although the hot isn't terribly hot. The cold isn't terribly cold. It does snow, and sometimes it snows a bit, but it doesn't, it isn't like, well, it snowed 17 feet last night, and, you know, you have to live with the snow for months and months and months until it finally melts. We don't get those. It does snow. Sometimes it stays on the ground for a little while. I think last year was one of our better years for just having snow that snowed a lot and stay on the ground for a time. I seem to think there was one snow that actually lasted for 5 or 6 days on the ground. I mean, it didn't snow 5 or 6 days. It actually snowed, and then it was on the ground for 5 or 6 days before it actually just melted off. Because we have some pretty warm days in the winter, too. So, you know, you don't have to air condition too much. You don't have to heat too much. Basically a pretty nice place to live as long as you can handle the variability of it all, you know. Things pop up quick here and they pass away very quickly. You can have a big gully washer thunderstorm and it can come up and be gone and in 15 or 20 minutes, and that's it. It's like, what happened there? Good to go. Well, that's just the way it is around here. So, I love thunderstorms. Thunderstorms are cool. Now I've passed by it. It's behind me now. Darn it. See, it was that small. And just the time I was talking, it was there in front of me on the left side. And then I passed through the edge of it, I think. And now it's back behind me. It's still overcast over me, but the stuff is really high up. There's some interesting, great-looking clouds now off to the east here that have the possibility of bringing some more interesting weather. Big, puffy, white clouds. Ah, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. Anyway, I hope I'm not just sitting here being all nostalgic and stuff like that all over you. But I do get a kick out of this land. And, I'm not even though I come from a ranching family, I'm not a rancher. I come from farming families on a couple of sides. Of course, everybody used to farm. But I don't really do farming. I do a little bit of gardening, and that's all. I imagine if I got pushed, I could probably, you know, do okay. I used to raise rabbits. No, my brother raised rabbits. I raised a chicken, I guess. I guess what I did qualify is raising chickens. I don't know. Anyway, that's the closest I've ever gotten to it. But beautiful, beautiful sky, neat. You could be out here and you could and never be bored. At least I can. I can sit out here and just never be bored by just the interesting clouds and stuff like that you can see out here. The interesting skies, the thunderstorms. Almost a painter's canvas of just interesting, neat possibilities. Anyway, my name is Jay Nemro, and this has been Thunderstorms, episode number 679. You're listening to The Life Autistic. The contact email address is autism, A-U-T-I-S-M, at Quix.us. Have a wonderful day.